with you this morning. Why don't you have a seat just a second? Boy, I like that line of that song. Sometimes I think I glimpse eternity. Brothers and sisters, sometimes eternity is right there and it's so close it bleeds over into our realm, our dimension a little bit. And we have visitations from people and we see things. We have yearnings for something that we've never seen before. We are just that close. We are that close to eternity, brother and sister. We're going to just take a step from here to there. All we need to do is get a new body. And don't just step across, brother and sister. If that doesn't make you happy, my, just hold that in front of the devil when he tells you what your problems are. Hey, I'm going to step out of here one day, buddy. You're not. Before we get started, I just want to just take a couple minutes. I just addressed this issue tomorrow about the eclipse. Let me tell you right now, I do not know what it signifies, if it signifies anything, all right? I'm going to talk about it a little bit. Brother Branham said, they claim that before God does anything on earth, he always shows in heaven first, and they're right. God shows it by heavenly signs first. Since when did he ever do anything that he didn't show a heavenly sign first? Think of it in every age that you wish to, and God always does show signs in heaven first before he does anything on earth. He said, God in his great mercy have always preached and tried to stand for. He always shows his events from heaven. His great major events happen in heaven before it happens on earth. He reflects himself. In other words, before Messiah came into a place where his ministry would start, there came a star out of heaven that guided the men to the place where he was, the wise men. Brother Branham also said this. Matthew 24 mentions signs in the heaven concerning this last day just before Jesus comes. I wonder if you noticed such a sign recently fulfilled as to portray the very truth we've been discussing. The truth is that Jesus has steadily been pushed aside until in the last day, last age, he is pushed outside the church. Recall that in the first age, it was almost a full orb church of truth. There was a little air called the Deed of the Nicolaitans that kept the circle from being full. In the next age, more darkness crept in until the ball of light glowed less and darkness covered more of the circle. In the third age, it was eclipsed still more. In the fourth age, which was the dark age, light had all but gone. Think on this. The church shines in the reflected light of Christ. He is the sun. The church is the moon. Thus, this orb of light is the moon. It had decreased from almost a full moon in the first age to a sliver in the fourth age. But in the fifth age, it began to grow. In the sixth age, it took a great step forward. And part of the seventh age, it was still growing. Suddenly, it stopped short and waned to almost a nothingness. So that instead of light, it was a blackness of apostasy. At the end of the age, it had ceased to shine, for darkness had taken over. Christ was now outside the church. Here is the sign in the sky. The last eclipse of the moon was a total eclipse. It waned to a total darkness in seven stages. In the seventh stage, that total darkness came as the Pope of Rome, Paul VI, went to Palestine to make a holy tour of Jerusalem. He was the first pope to ever go to Jerusalem. The pope was named Paul VI. Paul was the first messenger. This man goes by his name. Notice it's the sixth or the number of man. This is more than a coincidence. When he went to Jerusalem, the moon of the church went into total darkness. This is it. This is the end. This generation will not pass away till it all be fulfilled. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. What does tomorrow's eclipse signify? I don't know. I'm not going to speculate. Not from the pulpit. Now, if we're sitting around talking, I'll speculate all day. I find it fascinating. But I'm not going to sit up here and tell you it might mean this and it might mean that because I don't know. Maybe you do. That's wonderful if you do. I don't. I do know this. Tomorrow, there's going to be an eclipse that we haven't had one like it since 1918. It's going to start on the west coast around Oregon and go all the way across to the east coast and end up around South Carolina where it goes out. The entire nation is coming to witness it. Have you seen how people are going crazy about it? Oregon's expecting 1 million visitors. Nashville, you can't get a hotel in Nashville the last couple of weeks. The cheapest hotel rooms are going for $600 in Nashville, and you can't get one. Every room is full. People are coming from all over to witness this eclipse, the total shutting out of the sun. What's it all about? I don't know. That's all I got to say about it. I believe it means something. I don't know what it is. Like I said, I could speculate. God's doing something, brother and sister, and it's showing it by shutting out the light of the sun completely. That's all I got to say. Let's stand. Lord Jesus, we come now to hear what you have to say for us, Lord, to to speak your word. We just ask that you would take the word that you've given me and anoint it, Lord. Help me to get out of the way. Help me to say only that which is pleasing to you, Father, and help each person here receive what you have for them. Help each one hear from you, Father. Don't let this be in vain. Don't let it just be some, we sit here and we hear someone speaking, but Lord Jesus, strengthen your body, strengthen your bride. I ask this in your name. Amen. If you want to turn your Bible to Joel, we're going to read a verse there. Last Thursday, we started preaching on restoration. We want to continue with that thought today, restoring the bride tree. Joel 1 and verse 4. That which the palm worm hath left hath the locust eaten. That which the locust hath left hath the cankerworm eaten. That which the cankerworm hath left hath the caterpillar eaten. You may be seated. Today we want to talk, there's several things we want to talk about, but on this, probably several messages on it. But today we want to speak about where we are in time. What word is supposed to be being fulfilled? Because brother and sister, we need to know the word for our day, what has to be fulfilled in our day. So we want to look at the age we're living in. We want to look at what word is supposed to be being fulfilled right now in this age that we are living in, so we can know if we even know Christ, because Christ is the word for your day. Manifest, if we don't know the word for our day, and if we don't see it being manifest, we don't know Christ. That's just true. That's kind of cut and dry, but that's the way it is, brother and sister. So we have to recognize what God is doing today. We have to see the written word. We have to hear the spoken word. And we have to see the manifestation of it. So we want to look at this today a little bit about the restoration of the bride tree. Brother Brandon, he's reading out of Joel 2:23-26. He said, "Be glad then, you children of Zion, rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately. He will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust had eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And ye shall eat in plenty, be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God. Thus hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed." So brother and sister, at the beginning of Joel, it says that these worms are going to come and eat that tree all the way down to just a stump. But God said, "I am going to restore." And how's he going to do it? With the former and latter rain is how the restoration is going to come. He says, now God is saying he's going to restore. The Lutheran age did not restore the church. It started a reformation. The Wesleyan age did not restore. The Pentecostal age did not restore. But God has to restore, for he cannot deny his word. This is not the resurrection of the church. It's the restoration. God will take the church right back to Pentecost of the beginning. What are you looking for in church, brother and sister? When you come to church, what we need to be looking for is, do we see the original church that was the church of Acts in action again today? If we don't, we're missing something. If we don't see the original back, something has gone wrong, folks. We either haven't gone far enough, or we're going off on the wrong limb. We're going off on something else. Either we need to keep going, either we're there, or we're going off in the right and wrong direction. So, brother and sister, we need to look at the direction we're going and see whether or not we're going in the right direction. Because if we just want to have a nice, comfortable church to go to, I want you to show me the Church of Acts was a nice, comfortable church to go to. It wasn't. Notice in verse 25, it tells we need restoration. The locust, caterpillar, cankerworm, and palmer worm have eaten all but the root and a small bit of the stem. We are told that all these insects are all one and the same in different stages. That's right. They are the Antichrist spirit manifested in organization, denomination, and false doctrine through the ages. And that poor little root and stalk is going to be restored. God isn't going to plant a new church. Is going to bring his original planting back to original seed. He is doing it as he stated in verse 23, by the teaching or former rain. Next will come the harvest rain or rapturing faith. Let's just keep that in mind. He started with the former rain, the teaching rain, and then it comes to the harvest rain or rapturing faith. We'll get back to that in a minute. I just read a couple quotes to get a foundation here. What is it? How is he going to do it? If it started out Antichrist by being against the teaching of Christ that accepted dogma instead of the word, and through the years the reformers had plunged at it, and the Bible said, but in the last days at the sounding, Revelation 10, 1 through 7, he said the mysteries of God will be finished in the last day at the sounding of the seventh angel. What's he saying, brother and sister? This is what the opening of the seals, the bringing of the message. That was the former reign. It's the teaching reign. It's bringing the word that's going to restore the tree back. You can't restore it back to the original if you don't have the original word to bring it back to the original. That's why you had to have the message come. It had to come and open the seals and bring the original pure word back, because all the rest of them, down through the ages, they were trying to bring it back, but they had the word mixed with something else, and it cannot produce the original book of Acts church again. It cannot produce the restoration. It can only produce a reformation. Malachi 4 said he would send Elijah before the evil day comes upon the earth. When he burned it like a furnace, he would restore and bring back the children to the faith of the fathers, the original apostolic Pentecostal faith, which he promised to be restored. That's just as plain as scripture can be. Now it's promised, and we're in the last day. Something's got to happen, and it is happening, and we are seeing it. My question to you this morning, brother and sister, are you seeing it? What are you seeing? When you come to church, what are you looking for? When you look to Jesus, what are you looking for? You'll see what you're looking for. If you're looking for just a nice, comfortable religion, you can find that. If you're looking for Christ who's just a healer, you can find that. If you're looking for, I just want to be saved, you can find that. But if you're looking for a full restoration, back to what you came from, back to the original, if you want that kind of God in your life, you can find that also. Amen. What are you looking for? Brother and sister, this ain't what I was looking for when I came to church, when I came to the message. This isn't what I thought it was supposed to be like. This isn't even close to what I thought it was going to be like. I had all kinds of ideas. You know what I had to do? I had to get rid of my ideas. Because how many of them were right? None of them. I was completely wrong. And it took the preaching to come and straighten me up on these things. And I thought, well, I don't know if I believe that or not. And he said, who are you to sit there and decide what you believe or not? I have anointed this preacher to put you in a rapture. You need to accept what he's saying. Boy, that humbled me down a little bit. Wow. He said Luther had the Spirit of God, but his age was not the full restoration by another outpouring like in the beginning. It's the same with Wesley, Booth, Knox, Brainerd, Mueller, etc. Sure, they were full of the Holy Ghost. Yes, they certainly were, but the age in which they were lived was not the age of restoration. It was still the growing up. He said neither was any age but this last age, the age of complete blackout in apostasy. Think of it. This is the age of apostasy, and this is the age of restoration. It is the age of the finished cycle. With this, it is all over. So what we see is both churches coming to the head, both churches coming to the fulfillment. You got Satan's group over here coming to total apostasy, total blackout, and you see Christ coming to total light until stepping off into another body. We see them both happening. That's when you can look around and you can see our country has literally gone completely insane. Amen. It is completely gone. You can just look around and where do you find anything that makes sense anymore? Right. Nothing. Right. Everything is gone. What are you going to build your hopes on? What are you going to find entertainment? What are you going to do? What are you going to find a comfort out in that world? It's total blackness. Amen. Great time to be a sinner. Oh, if you're a sinner, you ought to be having the time of your life. Why? Because there's so much to do. Do anything you want. It's okay. I had people at work this last week talking about things, and they're almost literally defending murder and terrorism and all this thing, because that's the way they're taught. They're raised that way. How do you expect them to do anything different? There is a natural law in each person that tells you what's right and wrong. Yes. You can have someone preach that out of you. You can teach and you can fill you with all kinds of junk so you believe all kinds of horrible stuff, and that's the way the world is. But brother and sister, let me tell you something. The word is here to get all that stuff out of your mind and set you straight. Amen. Oh, we can be free. Yes. We can be free, brother and sister. We are going to be. If you're not, brother, sister, you will be, because we're going to be restored all the way back to the original. And then what that church, that original church did at Pentecost, they had the full light, but then it wasn't time for the rapture. There was more people to be redeemed. There was more 8 stages for the church to go through. So they started getting away from the word. It started a pure light, and by the end of the church age, that first church age, it had started getting darkness in there. Even Paul said, he said he recognized it then, that spirit of Antichrist is here. John talked about it. Brother, sister, this age, the church is going to go off and has gone off, stepped off into total darkness. But the bride is stepping off into pure light. A pure reflection. And tell brother and sister, this makes me happy. It isn't just the bride reflecting the sun anymore. You're going to think I'm crazy when I say this. It is the bride being the sun. That's why the church has gone into total darkness. We're not part of that church. We have become one with Christ. We have become one where we and the Word have become one. We're not just a reflection anymore. It's Himself. Oh, hallelujah. It is Jesus Christ Himself living in you in a way He's never done in a bride before. Why? Because this bride doesn't fall away. This bride goes higher. It doesn't go down. It goes up. My, I challenge you to believe that. You say, brother, Sid, we're still in this old body. Of course we're still in this old body. In that aspect, yes, we're reflecting light. But brother and sister, Jesus Christ is living inside you if you've been born again in a way that you're going to be, it's going to blow your mind by the time you get out of here. If it isn't already. That's the promise. It's full restoration. Recognize who we are. Oh my. He said, trumpet. Let me read this. Then when Messiah was cut off, the Jews were blinded, so he couldn't see that was Messiah. And when Messiah was cut off, then the gospel and grace age come to the Gentiles. And they come down, and God pulled one from here and there and here and there, put them way under the messengers, here and there, put them way under the messengers. He sent forth the first messenger. He preached, the trumpet sounded, and then the trumpet was declaring war. Trumpets always denote war. The messenger, the angel come on earth, the messenger of the hour, like Luther, like any of the messengers we talked to. What does he do? He arrives, a seal opened, reveals, a trumpet sounds, war declared, and away they go. Then the messenger dies, he seals away this group, they're put in, and a plague falls on those who rejected it. And then it goes on, then they organize, get another organization. We've just gone through it. So brother and sister, what we see happening in every age, if the messenger comes, he preaches the word, it's a teaching reign, and then the people receive that, they are sealed away in that age, the rest of the age goes off into apostasy, and a new age comes on. And what's it doing? It's gone down. It started there with the full thing. It went down into the ground and had to die. And then it came back up through the Reformation until this last age. We are come to the harvest time. It's time for the church to go. It's time for Satan's church to go. Amen. It's the end time. It's it. We're here. This is the age we're living in. So what, brother and sister, when you're looking around for the word to be fulfilled, what you need to be looking for is that you need to be restored to the original Pentecostal church back there at Acts. In Acts. That's what we're looking for. What are you looking for? What kind of life do you want to live? What kind of power do you want in your life? What kind of a Christian do you want to be? What are you looking for? I just want to go to church, Brother Phil. I just want to be a good person. We all want to be a good person, hopefully. It's what the bride is called to do. It's the word for this day. We're not getting into all the particulars of that. We're going to do that in another message or two about what that actually looks like. Like I said today, I just kind of putting things in perspective so we can see what is supposed to be happening. We'll talk about what it's going to look like later. If you turn to Matthew, the 24th chapter, we're going to look at this a little bit more. The former, the teaching reign, it's the message. Call out the bride. The message went forth to call out the bride. But brother and sister, you can't get harvested. You can't come to perfection if you stay in the teaching rain. What is the rain? It's the anointing, the Holy Spirit anointing the word for that day to fulfill that word that's supposed to happen. That's what it's about. Matthew 24:21. Let's talk about this. He said, for then shall be great tribulation, such as not was since the beginning of the world to this time, no, never ever shall be. And so, except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they will deceive the very elect. Now, brother and sister, you know that we have seen that all over the place. We're seeing it now. There are a ton of false Christs out there preaching the message, gathering great crowds of people together, and they're not bringing the word. They're not bringing it to the restoration. Why? Because they're keeping them in their original, in the teaching rank. All they want to do is preach. God sent a prophet. The message is true. Just believe the message. There is a time for that. There was a time when God was calling the bride, he sent a message to call the bride out of all the denominations. Come out of her, my people. That ain't the call anymore. That's yesterday. Now, before I go any farther, you're going to think by the time I get done preaching today that I don't think that anyone can be saved anymore. Let me tell you right now, don't you let Satan put that in your heart. Don't you believe that for a second, because the same one who gave me to this to preach said, don't you let them think that there's no more mercy. Amen. There is. If you're not born again, you get that way. You still have time. That door might be a centimeter from shutting, but just humble yourself enough, you can slide in that centimeter. Amen. Yes, you can. Amen. Don't you let any devil say, well, I guess I've gone too far. No, you have not. Now, if you're sitting here this morning, because if there's still the least little inkling of something in you that wants to serve God, then you can serve God if you want to. Amen. They'll show great signs and wonders that they'll deceive the very elect if it was possible. They're going to show so many wonderful things by the original, by the genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost anointing them. And you're going to look at them and you think, oh my goodness, look at the mighty things they're doing. But they have stayed back in yesterday. They haven't moved on into the word for today. How do you know the difference? How do you know what's right and wrong? Well, Brother Phil, they have better signs. They have more miracles than we do. Okay. Are miracles going to put you in the rapture? Are miracles going to give you a body change? Are miracles going to restore the bride? No, they don't. It's not by miracles. It's by the rain, the former and latter rain. You can go out to denominational churches and have miracles by the cartloads. He said, behold, I have told you before. What's he doing? He's letting us know before so we don't get deceived. He said, wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chamber, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. The message of the hour came and went around the world time after time. It was an open thing. It was lightning shining in darkness. It was saying, everybody take notice. Look what's going on. It was open for everybody. It was a call to the bride around the world. Come out. We saw that happen, and people came out by the droves. Just thousands of people. They're still in other countries. They're still coming. Well, they haven't had the messages like we have. You don't see it so much here. New people coming in. What's going on? It was an open thing. It was completely out in the open. Brother Branham was out there in front of everybody saying, hey, the message is coming. He's demonstrating. He demonstrated the first and second pull to the whole world so they could see something is real. God's fixing to do something. And then he just demonstrated the third pull. All of a sudden, Brother Branham wasn't so popular anymore. The opening of the word. Verse 29 says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of earth mourn. They shall see the Son of Man coming in clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He shall send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet. They shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. We're in a parable of the fig tree. When this branch is yet tender, and put it forth fruit, and you know. So likewise, ye, when you see these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation will not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. What's that talking about? That fig tree is talking about Israel being restored to a nation. That wasn't done in secret. Brother, sister, everyone knows Israel is a nation, and it is a pain in everyone's behind right now. People hate Israel more and more around the world. There's more anti-Israel hatred than there was way even the 1930s in Germany. They just want Israel to go away. The whole world just wants them to go away. What is it? They're being anointed by Satan because Satan recognizes those are God's people. People will stand up for the terrorists, the Muslim terrorists, because they're against Israel. They'll defend them. It's not a secret. But that's nothing to do with the bride. Let's see what's going on with the bride. Verse 36. Let's look at the harvest rain. But of that day and hour no man knoweth. Know not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Uh-oh, now all of a sudden we're talking about a secret. This isn't lightning flashing from east to west. This isn't Israel becoming a nation in front of the whole world. This isn't false prophets getting up and doing all kinds of signs and wonders. This is a secret. He said, as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that there are before the flood, they're eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Brother and sister, this is a secret. This is not something that's done out in public. Noah was in public. That was in public, but the people rejected him and they just said, oh, there's some crack down there building a boat. And they rejected it and walked away and ignored it. Till when? Till it was too late. What is this new not? What did they know not? They didn't know that it was too late long before that it was too late. It was too late long before they knew it. God shut the door and they sat there in that sweltering heat for 7 more days. And everyone's looking at that. Yeah, we go to church. We're message believers. They're message believers. We're all the same. This makes me tremble, brother and sister, to talk what I'm going to say here. They think they're the same. They think we're all message believers. They can't tell the difference between you and them. But you can tell the difference between you and them. Just fellowship for a while. What do they talk about? When they talk about what God's doing in their life, what are they talking about? It's different. There's a different spirit. Oh, they had the genuine Holy Spirit. Don't get me wrong. Wonderful people. Wonderful people. They wouldn't sit here and listen to what's being preached around here the last 4 or 5 or 10 years. No, sir. I sure didn't want to. A lot of you don't want to. But you do. Why? Because there's something different about you. There's a secret happening. There's something going on between you and God that nobody can have any substitute for it. That's what it is. It's you and God being formed into a relationship. It's you and God becoming one. It's a bride and his wife. It's a groom and his wife becoming united in marriage. Hallelujah. And someone looks at you and says, well, I don't see any difference between you and me. We all go to message churches. But brother and sister, if it ain't there yet, there will be a time when the door has closed and they will be impossible for them to be saved. Can I just say this? Right, I'll just go ahead and say this, brother and sister. If their pastor isn't born again, they can't be saved anyways, unless they get out of that church. They can't be bride, is what I should say. Can't. They're sitting there. They had crossed the line between mercy and judgment, and they didn't know it until the judgment hit. They heard some crank down there preaching at that church in Dixon. Had a bad attitude. Dixon's always had issues. I would not go there. I tell you what, they've never had a good church there in Dixon. Bunch of crazy people down there. Why do they even stay? Have you ever heard Brother Jerry preach? My goodness, who would want to listen to that? He's always tearing people up. And goodness sakes, don't listen to Brother Phil. He's insane. What is it, brother and sister? God has done something. He has taken a bride. He has called them out. He has called so many, but he's chosen a few. And there's a secret going away. There is a secret union between the bride and the bridegroom going on right now. And the world is passing right over the message world. I should say under them, because they're all looking at these wonderful, great things, and they're totally missing it. Who knows when the door is shut? Maybe it's already shut. I don't know. But let me tell you this. It's not shut for you if you're sitting in here. Because there's still a way to get in. You can still get in. My. Then shall two be in the field. The one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken, the other left. Two sisters will be sitting on the same church pew. One of them already in the rapture. The other one just thinking she is. Brother and sister, that's terrible. Two people in the same pew and one's born again. The other one thinks they're born again. One's already been taken. The other one's already been left. Oh, mercy. Have mercy. Lord, brother and sister, listen to what I'm saying. It's happening right there in the church pew before it happens in the rapture. It happens here. It happens when we're walking down the street. It's happening in our daily life. And then it's going to show up in the rapture. Because if you were raptured out of that church pew right now, you will never get a body change. You got to be in the rapture now. It's already happened. What? When you've been called up higher, you've been called out of this realm, you've been called out of Laodicea into the bright age by what? By being birthed into it. It's a new birth. Don't ever do anything without that birth. You get that birth before you do anything else. And don't you accept a substitute. You know why so many people don't get it? Because they're willing to take a substitute.
Amen.
Satan will give them a substitute. And after so many years, they say, well, I guess I'll just accept that. I know I've got it because I've been a message believer for so long. I've had this kind of experience. I believe that doctrine. Surely I must have it. Don't you dare accept that substitute.
Amen.
If you still gotta sit there and convince yourself you got the Holy Ghost, you don't. That's hard to say because I sat in a church pew for years and years trying to talk myself into believing that I had it. And then talking myself into believing I didn't have it. And then talking myself into, well, I must have it. And wondering if I had it. Don't you ever sit there and just wonder. You find out for sure.
Amen.
Let me tell you what. Brother and sister, when you have the Holy Ghost, it ain't you. Oh, listen, listen. It ain't you witnessing that you have it. It's something inside witnessing that you have it.
Yes.
Oh, it's a peace that passes understanding. It's something that sits down there and your whole world is falling apart and you just there in peace because you know, yeah, I'm still got eternal life. I know I have eternal life. Why? Because something inside is a witness to it. Oh, brother and sister, I can't hardly hold still anymore. Why? Because the faith is the evidence that is here. The faith is the evidence. Oh, hallelujah. Something inside. What's your evidence? Something inside just tells me it's so. My, don't point me to some experience you had. The experience is the revelation of Jesus Christ to you personally. Sure, some of you can point, well, you know you got it. You know that was the time you got it. Some of you can't. I personally can't. Does that bother you? It shouldn't. Why? Because something inside has registered. Something inside has told me. And something inside has taken the word and opened it to me. And I sit there and I see Jesus Christ. And it sits there and says, you are mine. You know why? The reason we don't get it so oftentimes is because we have our own idea how it's got to come, what we have to experience, and we have to have it this way and that way. Please put that aside and just open your mind and let Him give you the Holy Spirit the way He wants to. It's a love affair. Oh, it's like I want to fall in love, so I want to fall in love the way Brother Wayne and Sister Cindy did. So I'm going to find a girl, and I'm going to wait till it comes just like it was for them. I have no idea how it came from them. I don't care. That ain't the way it's going to happen for me. And it's not going to happen for you between Christ and you the way you have it figured out already. You know why? We got too many love stories and movies and books we even read. We don't fall in love like it does in those. That's not the way it happens. We got our own idea. We heard this, we heard that, and the message. I can't hardly breathe anymore. That's not the way God's going to do it. He is going to do it according to the way He wants to. Quit putting burns on it. Quit putting walls. Quit putting it in a box. Let Him just come and fall in love with you, and you fall in love with Him, and you just keep walking in love. Oh, I know what I'm talking about. I've experienced it. Years and years and years and years and years and years of trying to be born again. My own idea. Well, when this happens, I would know. If that would happen, well, I just got to have this. And the whole time he was sitting there and said, I love you. Well, I know you love me. I know. But look, I love you. I had this thing. I think too much. Jerry Bell used to tell me that. He said, Brother Phil, you just think too much. And I took it. Oh, I know. I know. It's just one of my things I do. And you know what? You talk about humble bragging. Yeah. I was proud of the fact that I think too much. Because that felt made me smart. I tried to figure everything out. And so I didn't try to change that. I just kept thinking. God will give it to you. He's just going to use it. You know, I just think that I'm pretty smart. I can figure this stuff out. Let me tell you what. God could do nothing as long as I had that stupid idea in my head that I think too much and that's a good thing. When you think too much, you're totally getting God. You know what you're doing? You're doing the thing Brother Branham said don't do. You can't get to God by education. You can't figure it out. It's not going to happen. I sat there in church pew just sitting on my mind just going to whirl, woo, woo, trying to figure out this and trying to figure out that doctrine. And if this was right, and how am I going to do that? And how am I going to do that? And God just sitting back there watching. Yeah, he's my son, but he sure don't learn very fast. Slow learner. He needs to get kicked around a few more times. Stop trying to figure it out. Just believe the word that's preached and walk in that. And then for goodness sakes, I've said it a million times, but get in the right atmosphere, folks. But I talk to people on the phone sometime, and they'll call me up, and they're kind of down about something, whatever. Or I'm down about something. Brother and sister, in 5 minutes, we're both on top of the mountain again. Why? Because we start talking faith to each other. Talk faith to each other. Help each other, build each other up. I'm going, Brother Gene, you know what? Brother Jerry's been gone so long, I'm just really kind of discouraged. I don't know when he's going to come back. He's going to come back when God brings him back, folks. Just make sure when he comes back to Victoria's Church. Why would he want to come back to a bunch of gloom and doom down here? Why would he come back to people like you are now? I'm enjoying this. I'm enjoying my salvation. I'm enjoying being in the presence of God. I'm enjoying being with my brothers and sisters. Oh, my. That's part of the restoration we're going to find out in another week or so. Shh. It's a secret. It's a secret coming of the glory. It's a secret going away. You know when those people who are missing it right now, you know when they're going to come and try and get in? After judgment starts striking. It's horrible. I have family and so do you. You know if there's not a change, they're going to miss it in the way they are. I don't care if they're going to message church or not. I got plenty of family going to message churches who are not going to make it if they don't get changed.
not going to take it easy and just be nice. Oh, they're my family. No, sir, but I'm going to tell the truth. So do you. He said, watch, therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. I want to move on. I got to just get still one more little thing on here. Look. Hebrews says, faith is the substance. It's a substance. This is a substance. You can touch it. You can feel it. Faith is the same thing. You can't touch and feel it, but it's just as real. It's more real than this. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I don't see a body change, but I know it's there. I know I have one because there's evidence inside me telling me it's mine. Let that fight your battle. When Satan comes to you and say, you're not born again, just don't argue with Satan. Don't try to convince him you are. Don't argue. Don't get all tore. Just step back and say, okay. What are you so concerned about it for? Why are you tore up about whether I'm born again or not, devil? You must be afraid. You're afraid I have it or I'm going to get it, and so you're trying to discourage me. Huh. Put some fear into his heart. He's put enough in yours. Give him a bad night's sleep instead of him giving you a bad night's sleep. Let this do your fighting for you. That's something that's anchored inside. Let that rise up and go to battle for you. This is the power. This is what you ride. Don't sit there and argue in your mind about these things and try to figure out in your mind and try to decide if you are or not. Just press on until you know for sure. Let the Holy Spirit, let the witness inside of you witness and tell you whether you are or not. And if it's telling you or not, then get that way. If you're not sure, get that way. You can't get that way. But you have to walk in faith. You have to. You won't get it otherwise. You're not going to get it sitting there and sitting there just when you're kind of gloomy and down and stuff and come to the altar one time and get prayed for and get born again and go back out and do the same thing you were. It's not going to come that way. Is that all right? So, brother and sister, the word that's being preached now, this latter rain, it's come and it's bringing the bride to perfection. It's no longer calling people out. It's taking people in. Into the bride, into the rapture. Brother and sister, it's come to perfect the church. It's like Brother Branham said, if you planted wheat back in April, if you had the August sun on it, when it came up, it would kill it. It's too hot. That original rain was to bring that up. But now you come to a point where that wheat can handle the hot sun. Now the sun in April won't bring it to heat, won't bring it to rapture, to maturity. It's too weak. You had to have the hot sun of August to bring it to full maturity, get rid of all the green. Doesn't that explain why the things have been preached around here, been preaching the last 5 years, brother and sister, is to get all the greenness out. It's not anymore about you're a messed believer, praise God, live a good life. Now it's all that stuff inside's got to get removed out of there. So it's just you and Christ in there. That excites me, brother and sister, because I sat there and I let the word come and had the effect and it tore me up. And I sat there anyways. Why? Because something inside had to come to maturity. That's what's happening now. Do you recognize the word today happening in your midst? And it's done as a secret. It's done as an individual. You're sitting there and you're getting something. You're getting something else. You're getting something else. You're getting something else. It's just you and Christ. And someone else is sitting there getting nothing. Oh, my. I pray that you know you're experiencing what I'm talking about. You're seeing the change. You're seeing, you're going through the maturing process. The word comes stronger and stronger and stronger. Why? Because he's got to get all the idols, all everything out of the way, all the greenness out of the way. You know what else he gets out of the way? The shuck. Look at the shuck. that has peeled away. When the sun gets too hot, the shuck peels away from the grain. But to that point, it protected it. I came to Dixon. I was living in Clarksville, Tennessee back in 1988. And I came to a church camp meeting down here. And I started going to the church here in Dixon back in 1988. And there's a man named Jerry Bell, who was a pastor. And Jerry Bell was a good man. He was a wonderful man. And he was not born again. But what was he doing? He was keeping the church going. He kept it going. I think he was here for 10 years or something. I was here for 8 of those years. I think that's about what it was. What was it? Until God had to move him out of the way. Why? Because the shuck had to pull away. He was not going to be able to preach us to a bride until the rapture. But he was a shuck keeping the church here until the right person could come along. And he kept a church and he kept us here and his ministry was good. I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know if he's saved or not. He might be a penny, a nickel, a dime. I don't know. Until he gets born again, he's definitely not a silver dollar. But God used him to keep us here. But now, brother and sister, we've gone past that. Look at the rest of the shuck. I hate calling people shuck that have come here. But brother and sister, I have to tell you what I'm seeing. And I'm seeing that shuck is put away left and right out of here because the sun got too hot for him. Horrible. We all have family we've seen walk out.
What you gonna do? You could go with them. But you can't. You can't go. You tried to go. You tried to keep the family. You tried to do this. You tried to change. And then you say no. There's something keeps drawing me back here to this little church here. Walnut and Fifth or whatever street it is. It's a secret. They don't understand it. They look at you and say, what's wrong with you? Why do you have to be that way? They don't understand it. But you do. Oh my. Do you realize if you identify this, do you realize what this makes you? This makes you and Christ married. You're one. You're sealed into the body of Christ. Try to get out. Try to get out. Oh, if you could save your people, your friends, people I work with. I'm so thankful. Brother Jerry preached that a couple months ago. He preached that. He said, they're saved. They're not bride, but they're saved. Some of them, not all of them. And God just spoke to me, and he put several people in my mind right there. He said, they're saved. Don't worry about them. They've been good to the brethren. Brother Jim, last Sunday, we were talking. He said, there's this guy. He said, hey, I'm going to clean your truck. I'm going to do it once a year. Hundreds of dollar job. He's just going to do it for him. Why? Something moved inside that man to do it. Does he know he's doing it for Jesus Christ? No, he doesn't. But God does. Live a life. Live that life that makes people look at you and say, you're weird, but there's something good about you. I want to do something for you. How many people are going to stand there on Judgment Day, and you're going to stand up and say, that sister over there, she done so-and-so for me. There it is playing out on the screen for everyone to see. Say, you get life. And she was this close to stepping off into hell, and at the last minute you spoke up and said, she gets life.
This ain't going to be done just on your willy-nilly, whimsy, something other. This is going to be because Jesus Christ recognized what they did for him. The least of his. What you've done for the least of mine, you've done unto me. Oh, my. Be nice to each other, okay? Oh, my. It's an evidence. This is not adding to them. This is not a time of adding to the church. This is not a time of adding numbers to the church, although we can still do that. Don't get me wrong. Please don't get me wrong. You can still be added to it if you're not there. Look, let me tell you something. Satan's going to tell you this. He's going to say, you're going to try, and you're going to believe, and at the last minute, oops, he's going to snatch it away and say, hi, you're too late. You think God does that? You don't know God very well, brother and sister. That's the way I thought it was. I'm going to try, and I'm going to get right to the very end. He said, you missed it by 24 hours. Sorry, you're out. That ain't the way God does it. He puts something in your heart to long for him. He has something to fulfill that longing. Don't accept a substitute. That's the problem. People accept a substitute. Well, I've been listening to Brother Jerry for 20 years. I'm born again. Satan's been listening to him longer than that, and he ain't born again. You can't go by just because you believe what the preacher's saying. It's got to be believed, and it's got to have an effect in your life, and it brings you to a place where you stand there and you say, I know I'm boring. Why? Because there's peace. Where there used to be worry and fear and doubt and warring, now there's peace. Amen. Peace. The whole world can fall apart, and I hope it doesn't, because I get all tore up in my mind. But in here, there's going to be peace that says, okay, I still got life. I tell you what, there is nothing in the world to compare to that. It takes the fear, it takes the heat out, it takes the worry out of stuff. And still you get tore up. I'm not saying you don't, but brother and sister, when you just get back and just settle down and just sit there and say, yeah, my life might be falling apart, but I have peace. I love going out in nature. I love hiking. I love this. And brother and sister, I used to go out there and I see the most beautiful scenery. I see the sun coming up. I see the sun setting. I hear the birds that you'll just go out there and it's so beautiful and it would just haunt me. It haunted me. It tore me up. Because I knew there was a land somewhere. That's just a very small indication what's coming. But I wasn't going to be there. Not in my current state. And I said, oh, it's so beautiful. I wish I was, no. And yet something inside, no, yeah, but you're not going there. You ever been there? That's not there anymore, brother and sister. It's not there anymore. There's peace. When I was out there, I'm climbing the mountains, look around and say, I'm going to dance on these one day. Oh, my. That's what the prophet says, St. Paul. The woman that lives in this worldly condition is dead while she is living. If she rejects mercy, she can cross the separating line. There's no place for her no more. Then where is she at with her painted eyes, her hair cut? She's across the line with no way to come back, and there's got to be a ministry preached to her. Remember, at that time, it's over. It's just a haunting. You're talking about a woman here. Talking about the church. The church sitting there with her own ideas, her own religion, her own makeup, her own relationship with Christ, she thinks. It's got to be preached to her. Brother Brandon said, you're preaching to the dead. There will be a ministry that will show great wonders. Joel says so. But there will be no time for redemption. It's over. Brother and sister, there's going to be a short, powerful work right before the bride leaves. And God's going to take the bride and flash it out there and say, this is her. But when that happens, it will be too late to be saved. The Lamb done took his book, redeemed is over. And Jesus' first preach was rejected and went and haunted those that were in there. Preached to them in prison, could not repent. No time for salvation. You hear what he said? He said he went and haunted those in prison. Oh, it's a haunting. The word had been preached, and I sat there in the pew time after time knowing I wasn't right and hearing about heaven and hearing about God and hearing about peace and love and joy, and it was just haunting me because I didn't have it. But there was still time for me, and there's still time for you. But there will come a time when there won't be. The minister will have to repeat again. That same ministry where he was preaching those haunting them in prison in hell, it had to repeat again, and they're going to be haunted in the hell that is earth. He said, what if that could be the third pull to the eternal loss? What if it is there? I hope not. What if it is? Think of it a minute. God forbid, I got children. He preached this in 1963, November. But it looks pretty close here. The more I preach, the worse they get. There's no repentance, no place for it. What? In the church system. I look at this, what God gave me to preach today, and I look at that eclipse tomorrow, and I think, and I wonder, but I ain't going to speculate. I just wonder. He said, oh my, what a conglomeration we're in. Just exactly the picture Jesus said would take place. Eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, knew not until the day that Noah entered the ark. The door closed. There is no more chance. That was his last sermon. The last sermon been preached in any great ministry has been to the impossible to be saved. Noah, his last message was to the impossible to be saved. He went in and the door closed behind him. And he was in there 7 days before it started raining. His first message was preaching, building the ark, then closed up for 7 days. The people said, that old fanatic, he's just in there. He closed the door himself. But God closed it. Ain't no preacher can close this door. Estelle Beeler tried to close it way back in the 70s. You might not know him. He was the one that got my dad totally messed up in his doctrine. He said mercy was over in 63. He was a liar. How many souls lost because of that lie? Kids giving up hope because they couldn't believe they could be saved, so they just went out and served the devil. No preacher can close that door. God closes it when it's time to be closed. I'd like to stop here in Noah's witness and let you know this, that there will come a time when that men and women, the church will be going right ahead preaching and believing they're getting saved when the door will be closed just like it was then. If you're not in, get in now because God will close the door. There'll be no more mercy. One time the disciples said to Jesus, why does the scribe say Elias must first come? Jesus said, he already come, you didn't know it. They understood it was John the Baptist that done been there on earth and done been beheaded, went up to glory, and the thing that they were looking for was already in the past. One of these days men will cry out, women will cry out, but it'll be too late. The door will be closed. The virgins came knocking on the door, let us in. They wanted to get some oil. It was too late. There were good people. There were virgins. There were message believers. It was too late. He said, seek salvation while you can. Be a grain, not a stalk. Go into life, not the old dead form. Go into the life of Christ, the word made manifest and vindicated. Brother, sister, you can have that. You can have that. Press on. He said, how do I get there? I need to get there. I got desperation in my heart. That's the best thing you can have is desperation. Just don't go and try to do it in your own ability. Because Satan will take that desperation and get you to go and try on your own again. So don't you dare go do that. You take what God said and he tell you a promise. He said, you chose me and you promised I could have the Holy Spirit. I asked for it. I'm going to walk in faith until it's mine. That's all he wants you to do. Don't go getting religious. Well, I'm going to pray all night. Well, I'm going to. If God pulls you to pray all night, he won't let you sleep. You won't be able to help it. Let God do the work. Don't go do something in your own ability. He said, you better receive them while you can, because there'd be many things in the world that's ready to come to pass. Insects that's never been hashed out before will come forth. I had never saw that before. He's talking about the tribulation period. Insects that's never been on earth before are going to be hatched out. How would you like to deal with that? Now is the time to get right. You better do it. After a while, the mercy seat is going to move away. There'll be no more redemption. If there's one speck of God calling you, move out right now. Don't have no flaws. Be absolutely sure. If there's anything doubting in your mind, you better straighten it up now. Don't wait till then. It's too late. Don't wait, brother and sister. It's too late. Is there anything that's bothering you? Is there any question? Don't wait till you take the mark so deep you'll never see it anymore. You'll be blind. He said those things could happen. It'll be past time and you won't know it. You can't afford to take that kind of a chance. Don't do it, friends. Come in while you can. The ministry today to the bride is a ministry to bring her to perfection. It's to bring her to maturity. The bride, the capstone coming down, melding together with the body. Them without us cannot be made perfect, because we need to be just like that. So when the capstone and the bride come together, there's no separation. It's a perfectly smooth seal there. You can't tell the difference. That's what we get. That's our inheritance. And then the rapture. I find it amazing that here, when God gave me this to speak on the people who cannot be saved, the third pull is for the bride. All the power and the signs and things, it's going to be for the bride. It's going to be to the impossible to be saved, the lost. Brother Branham said that over and over. And here, when God has me bringing this message about how this message, the last part of this, is going to be to the lost. It's going to get the bride ready, but it's going to be preaching, haunting the lost. But yet he puts on my heart, he said, you call out and say, if you're not in yet, you get in now. Get in now. The long suffering of God to every last one who wants to be saved. You can be saved. God's not an Indian giver. He doesn't just promise you something and snatch it away. He promises that now, if you want this, come on and get it. He says, it's going to be too late. Really soon, it's going to be too late. But still, there's that much space yet. You can slide in here at the last. And you can rest. You can rest. You can have peace in the midst of your trials. That's what is happening today. Oh, I hope you all are born again. I hope you all know this peace. I know some of you do. I've seen it displayed. What would you give in exchange for your soul? Don't accept a substitute, folks. You press on until you know for sure. Amen. Let's stand. Tomorrow, the whole country, the United States, is going to witness this eclipse. The moon completely blocking out the sun. Today, the sun is shining brightly right here. It's not blocking out the sun here. I wonder if people in Nashville tomorrow are going to realize the significance of that little church down in Dixon right up the road. If they did, we couldn't get anyone close to this church for all the people thronging here to get light. But how many of them have already gone past the line? They walk in here and say, I want nothing to do with this, and they turn and walk right out. There's not a bit of God in there calling to them, brother and sister. There, it's impossible to be saved if God isn't calling you. And he's not calling them anymore. But if he is still dealing with you, and he's dealing with all of us in some aspect or other, brother and sister, press on. And keep in prayer, my goodness. Don't give up on your family and friends. Who knows? Who knows what God's going to do for them? Amen. God bless you. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful you would come and bring the word and show us, Lord, where we're standing today. We can see in the word right where we're standing. Your prophet came and said that there must be a former and latter rain, and this is what we're going through. The harvest rain is the rapturing faith. This rain to bring us to rapturing faith, Lord, as we see us and you and us becoming one, we're becoming molded together into a unit, the bride and the bridegroom. Oh, Lord Jesus, become one with the word. We ask that you would continue this, Lord. Help us to walk in faith. Help just let a little bit of something anchor into each heart, a little word, something that they recognize it's you speaking, and they hold on to that. Each person, Lord. But each one. Don't let it be in vain, Lord. You promised it wouldn't. So I ask that in full assurance. Bless the ones who couldn't make it today, Lord. We ask for our friends, our families. We ask for the ones, Lord, it seems they're in a bad place. We ask for mercy, Lord. Oh, we ask for mercy. Our loved ones. People who have been so good to us. They're good people, Lord. It's been blinded. Lord, we thank you for your mercy to us. And your grace. So you bless us now, Lord, as we worship you for a few minutes. Just water this word. Let it take hold. Amen. When you look around at the billions of people who are lost and dying, and you look at yourself and how did you get to this point? If you can't appreciate the grace of God, the mercy of God, how many millions and millions of better people are there than us? But we're the ones here. Talk about grace. How do you look down on people? How can I look down on someone because they're a sinner? Not if I recognize what God done for me. That should temper our attitudes. It should temper our interaction with people. God bless you.